Powered by Riverside.
Hello, everybody. Can you hear that in the background? Can you hear it? That sound is the sound of the delicious, delicious crow that I am currently cooking myself for dinner. It is May 13th. This was, and I'll be honest, not the podcast I was expecting to be recording on May 13th. So this is yet another edition of Syracuse Speaks with host Alex Ackerman. That is me. And this is another unhinged Monday night post-work. I had to go grocery shopping. I had to do everything that us adult humans need to do, up to and including making a new fish tank environment for my new fish, because I'm pretty sure I killed my last one with kindness. So we have a new one now, and I'd like him to survive. So it has been a night already. And we are here, and I have some delicious, delicious crow to eat, and I have never been so excited to be wrong. I have always kept it real. I have always admitted when I was incorrect or wrong about something, and I was wrong. I was so wrong, in fact. I insinuated in the last podcast episode when I sat down with you all that I kind of expected the Syracuse Crunch to get swept. I would not have been surprised had that been the case at that point in time. Spoiler alert, that isn't what happened. Not only is that not what happened, but the Crunch won the series versus the Rochester Americans. It took five games to do it in. It took multiple overtime sessions, including one very late night that went past 11 o'clock in double overtime. But they did it. We are here on May 13th, and the Syracuse Crunch is in the North Division Final for the first time since 2018. What did it take to get here? Great question. First of all, and you know, to be candid here, it took the Tampa Bay Lightning falling out of their playoffs. Syracuse, before that occurred, was holding its own. Before the Lightning fell out of their playoffs, Syracuse was 1-1 against Rochester. They had basically completely eliminated Rochester's home ice advantage by winning on their ice on Sunday, April 28th in overtime with a final score of 4-3. Two nights earlier than that, on Friday, April 26th, Rochester had been victorious in regulation 3-2. So very close games. The Crunch took Rochester to overtime. Then the thing happened. The Lightning fell out of their playoffs, and the Crunch got back two defensemen in Emil Liljeberg, and I am going to look up the other gentleman's name because, again, it is a Monday, and it's been a long day, and I don't want Texas Stars' roster. There we go. Right, Max Crozer. Yeah, that one. So they got two defensemen, and they also got back goaltender Matt Tompkins. That third player doesn't seem to factor into the equation at the moment in time, but two games into the series against Rochester, it was comforting to have the Crunch's kind of veteran, actual, whatever meant to be with the Syracuse since the beginning of the season, goaltender back. And it was absolutely great to have Crozer and Liljeberg back, because those are two defensemen that have been with Syracuse up and down all season long. They were meant to be with the Crunch, and because the Lightning had injury troubles and they traded away some depth, they needed to recall those players. They were returned to the crunch. And in my opinion, that absolutely made a difference. Syracuse's defense going into those final three games against Rochester was much more tight than it had been up to that point. And I honestly think as those really, really close games continued on Thursday, May 2nd and Saturday, May 4th, those extra defensemen made a difference. Thursday, May 2nd, Syracuse took Rochester to double overtime. We're not going to talk about how it got to double overtime. We don't need to address that. It's in the past. We're good. We don't need to rehash a monumental third period collapse. It doesn't need to happen. We're not even going to forget I even said anything. Syracuse won that game 2-1 in a very exciting moment that will probably go down into the similar history books like Trevor Frischman's goal in 2008 and the countless others that helped to propel Syracuse to victories like that right in front of their own fans. The final goal of the night, no surprise, was scored by Walteri Merla. Probably our good friend Walt. Yep, it's a good friend Walt. He was the game-winning goal that night. He was the one who finally ended the game at almost, I think, either right at almost 90 minutes of hockey or right around there. It was a really long game. Syracuse put 62 shots on goal as compared to Rochester's 34. Again, you want to talk about the difference that that newly retooled defensive core made? There's some evidence right there. The games were much more tight in Syracuse's zone once they got those two players back. So Syracuse won that game, had a chance to close out the series. The following game, also in Syracuse, a couple nights later, unfortunately, the final in regular overtime, so it only went to one overtime this time, was 4-3. Again, a very close game. The final ended in favor of Rochester, so that sent Game 5, which was almost a week later, thanks to the AHL's play-in round that tends to skew everything towards that other group that needs to figure itself out before the number one team in the division can play. Goes back to Rochester Friday, May 10th. Syracuse is not only victorious, but pretty firmly victorious. They went into a very hostile building. It was a sold-out crowd. Yes, there were Crunch fans there. Yes, they were loud. But the majority of the fans were Rochester fans. It was a hostile building. I personally was not impressed with the behavior of a lot of Rochester's fans, but that's a conversation for another day. Syracuse goes into that environment, wins with a final of 5-2, sending the Crunch onto the next round. Syracuse got goals in that game from Declan Carlisle, Cole Koepke, our good friend Walt, Cole Koepke again, and Felix Robert. You might notice something about those names. Those names have been fairly consistent for the Crunch all season long. Why is this important, you may ask? Well, if you recall from our previous podcast and our previous discussions together, last year when Syracuse was in the playoffs and lost in the first round, none of their regulars were able to really make it onto the score sheet. The Crunch has absolutely excelled this season when everybody on the roster is contributing. This is what that looks like. So the Crunch has moved on in the playoffs. They are going to be going up against the Cleveland Monsters, who defeated the Belleville Senators in their own round, the North Division semifinals. I know that there's a little bit of trepidation out there because Syracuse hasn't played Cleveland that much. Personally, I would rather take that overplaying Belleville. One, for whatever reason, the Crunch really struggled against Belleville this season. They played down to their level and they really, really had a hard time getting their mental game under control against Belleville. Two, and I'll be quite frank here, I don't care for the way Belleville plays. I think they're dirty. And I am relieved that at this point in the playoffs, after a really challenging, physical, long 3-week series against the Rochester Americans, the Crunch doesn't have to go and face Belleville. Now, that's not to say that the Cleveland Monsters aren't going to present a challenge. You may remember from the end of the regular season, it was Cleveland that powered through, leapfrogged everybody, and landed in first place to claim the North Division for the regular season. There is absolutely talent on that roster, and they are not to be underestimated. However, Syracuse is rolling. They took that really pesky, as they say, Rochester team to 5 games, and they won the final game in Rochester's own building. Syracuse has to be feeling really good about itself right now, and they have a lot of reasons to. When we look at the overall performance of the team, which I have up here somewhere, there it is. Gage Gonsalves leads the team in points with 6. This is not a surprise. What is also not a surprise is that Alex Barre-Boulé, in consistent playing time, is 2nd on the team in points with 5. Carlisle has 4 points. Robert has 4 points. Koepke, 3. Our good friend Walt with 3. Gabriel Fortier with 3. Crozer with 3. Philip Myers with 3. And then it kind of falls down to 2 and then 1 from there. Right now, someone looking at Syracuse's points totals would have to go all the way down to player 18 on the roster before they hit no points. Everyone is pitching in. And those players have only played 1 or 2 games apiece, by the way. So everybody is pitching in consistently. Players are out there. They're doing what they need to do, and they're working together. If we do a little switcheroony over to goals, Cole Koepke is 1st in the team for the playoffs in goals with 3. Our good friend Walt also has 3. Barre-Boulé, 2 goals. Jordy Bellavier, the deep discount Gabriel Dumont, has 2 goals so far these playoffs. It's really good to see him clearly growing in his comfort level after a midseason deadline trade to Syracuse, once it became clear that Gabriel Dumont was not returning, and get on the score sheet. I'm sure that feels really good to him too. The following players all have 1 goal: Gage Gonsalves, Carlisle, Robert, Fortier, Daniel Walcott, which how fun is it when he scores, Sean Day. And that takes us through the top 10 players on the roster. That is quite a spread in talent, in position, and these players are all contributing. If we expand this view out to the rest of the American Hockey League, currently in the playoffs in points, Gonsalves is 6 in the league. Of course, that is in teams remaining and playing in the playoffs with his 6 points. And Barre-Boulé is 20th in the league with his 5 points. If we switch that on over to goals, Cole Koepke is 20th in the league out of teams remaining in the playoffs with his 3 goals. So the Crunch is also starting to do something that maybe it didn't do necessarily so well during the regular season, and that's crack the top player in the league lineup. Now, granted, there's a lot less teams. Yeah, it's playoffs, you know. Even though in the AHL, the majority of the teams do make the playoffs, it's still playoffs. The field is smaller. But it is really nice to see Syracuse players start to creep up in those league totals as well. The other key to the Crunch's victories right now. And this is something I actually tweeted about the other day because I was surprised by what I found when I looked a little bit more into this player. We are not talking enough, and this goes for me too, about goalie Brandon Halvorsen. So I looked this gentleman up because I was interested, and it's funny that I hadn't done it before now, but the goaltending carousel in Syracuse hasn't really been clear up until now as to who exactly the front runners were, just because of the up and down movement of everything this past season. So the last time Halvorsen played a minute of playoff hockey, we're talking like total in all of the leagues, was when he was in juniors in the OHL in 2016. Before Syracuse signed him in November, and remember, he was signed to a PTO first, a standard tryout contract. And then a few weeks later, he was signed to a two-year contract. So the great news here is that Halvorsen is going to continue to be in the organization at least for another season. He had 52 regular season AHL games to his name, dating back to his professional debut during the 2016-17 season. No playoff experience in the American Hockey League, 52 regular season AHL games over almost a full decade of time. He bounced back and forth between the AHL and the ECHL. I think if I remember, he even spent some time overseas. He took some time off, which, spoiler alert, I got a tip that friend of the pod, Patrick Williams, might be working on a story with Halvorsen to share a little bit of that journey for him and to kind of cap off this amazing journey that he has been on that has now ended with continued, we'll go with that word, with backstopping Syracuse to a round of the playoffs the Crunch hadn't seen since in the before times, before the pandemic changed everything we know about everything. This is so amazing that I actually lost my train of thought and where I was going, but it doesn't matter. This is what this league is about. This is what makes this league so special, because players like Halvorsen can come off the ECHL bench and really show and earn time in the second best hockey league in the world. That's pretty cool. I almost put a word in that sentence that would have made me have to change the rating on this episode, and I don't like to do that. So that's pretty cool. And Halvorsen definitely needs to be getting more credit with everything Syracuse has managed to do up to this point. So, what's next? Great question. As previously said, Syracuse will be facing Cleveland next round. This round does not last quite as long as the previous one, thank goodness. The Crunch gets started on Thursday, May 16th in Cleveland. The Monsters have home ice, so Syracuse will start there. It's a 7 o'clock game. I point out the fact that it's a 7 o'clock game because, heads up, Crunch fans, Saturday, May 18th, which is also in Cleveland, is a 1 o'clock start time. There must be something going on at their arena. I've been to Cleveland, although it's been over a decade, probably about a decade and a half at this point in time since I was there, and they play in the same rink as, like, well, arena, as like the Cleveland Cavaliers. And so there's concerts and events, and the NBA is not playing anymore, right? I don't even know. I don't follow anything but hockey. But regardless, there must be something going on because a 1 o'clock start time during the playoffs is certainly not ideal. So that'll be an interesting game on both ends. The teams will get a little bit of a rest. They'll come back to Syracuse on Wednesday, May 22nd at 7 o'clock. They'll play again in Syracuse on Friday, May 24th. and then they'll head back a pretty quick turnaround to Cleveland, if necessary, on Sunday, May 26th, a 3 o'clock game, which is kind of normal for a Sunday, but still for playoffs, still kind of early. So obviously not that, not just that last game, but those last two games are if needed. Most people I have talked to expect this series to at least go to four games. So it will be interesting to see where that actually goes. And if, you know, they go the distance again with Cleveland. Taking a look at Cleveland's playoff roster. So they have had a full deck this entire time. Columbus, which is just such a familiar sentence to say for us old timers, did not make the playoffs. So they have had a full slate of players this whole time. Owen Sillinger, who's a left wing, he has 3 points so far on the series. David Jurek, I probably did not say that correctly. None of you are surprised. 3 points. Justin Pearson, it's a normal name. Oh my goodness, I just saw what was coming. Oh dear. Okay. Pearson has 3 points. There's a player in fourth place in points for Cleveland whose name is Mikel. And then his last name is spelled P-Y-Y-H-T-I-A. Personally, if he was on my team, I'd probably call him Pokemon because that's just where my mind went. That looks like the name of a Pokemon. I'm not even going to try it. He's got 3 points. I'm not even going to try it. Stefan Matteau, 3 points. Josh, I'm assuming Dunn, but it could be Dune, 2 points. Marcus Bjork, 2 points. Jake Gaudette, 2 points. Tyler Engel, 2 points. And Trey Fix-Wolanski, 2 points. So there is Cleveland's top 10 that I am sure Syracuse's defensemen will want to keep an eye on. In net, it looks like Cleveland has been going with Jet Greaves. Yep. For the previous series against Belleville, I assume that will not change. He currently has a 1.8 goals against average and a 0.942 save percentage. So if we're looking at goals against, that's basically how many goals that he has let in. So obviously that's an on average less than two. That's pretty dang good. Save percentage, how many shots on net he has saved versus let in. He's at 0.942, which again, that's pretty good. Pretty good, not going to lie. Over on the crunch side of things, I have forgotten how to use a computer, which is hilarious because I'm in IT, so you think I should know. Halvorsen's stats. And keep in mind, Halvorsen did play one more game. The Belleville-Cleveland series went to four games. Rochester-Syracuse went to five. He has a 2.23 goals against average, so he's let in on average a little bit over two goals throughout the five games with Rochester, and a 0.914 save percentage. So, you know, out of all of the shots that were aimed at him, he saved 0.914% of them. So, you know, on paper, Greaves is a little bit more steady, but obviously there's a lot that goes into goaltender performance, especially in the playoffs. Confidence is a huge piece. And right now, I would venture to say that Halvorsen, who has taken such an interesting road to be where he is and has overcome so much, is pretty much on top of the world right now. He seemed to be clicking really well with his defensemen, and I think that that got better as the previous series went on. It's nice to see guys like Phil Myers maybe be able to take a little bit of a break because the coaching staff has been leaning on him really heavily all season long as the only veteran defenseman on the team. which I sure hope that gets addressed next season, but there's a lot we have to talk about for next season at a later date. It's in the back of my mind because truthfully, as I said earlier, that's what I just expected to be talking about tonight. Thankfully, I don't have to. We'll address all of the things for next season later on. For right now, we're focused on Syracuse, Cleveland, starting this week. The other Eastern Conference series that will be getting started at some point in time, I'm not entirely sure when. Oh, same time as Syracuse. Okay, great. Yep, same time as Syracuse. Is the Hartford Wolfpack versus the Hershey Bears. So that's the series to keep an eye on over in the Atlantic Division. I don't want to talk about the Western Conference. No, I'm not going to talk about that. I don't want to. I'm not going to. So best of luck to the Milwaukee Admirals. That's all I'm going to say about that. Overall, I am pleased as punch to be here tonight talking to you all about the crunch in the North Division final. I can't wait to see where this series goes. I can't wait for it to get started. And, you know, as always, please make sure to stay tuned to Patrick Williams. He will be posting a little bit more about the crunch just because the field is narrower, so he can devote his usually divided attention to the teams that are left. So stay tuned to him on social media and on the AHL.com for any stories he has upcoming about the crunch. For the Cleveland side of things, my sister in Swift, Dina Weinheimer, is who I go to for everything Cleveland. She is on Twitter at DeanaWeinheimer. And she also runs a fantastic blog with a great group of people, the Calder Times. Go look them up too, because they do fantastic work. And they will also be covering the series. And the writer that is covering the crunch for that team is Sam Weismer. And she is also on Twitter, at Samantha Weismer, W-I-S-M-E-R. So give her a follow too, because she is currently learning the crunch. She is learning their roster, and she is doing a great job live tweeting the games, talking about the team, and covering them for the Calder Times. So I think that's pretty much everything you need to know about that. Thank you all so much for tuning in tonight. I hope you enjoyed this little journey with me. After work is always such a fun time to sit down, but you know, on nights like tonight, I don't really mind it as much. Thank you all so much for tuning in. I'm Alex Ackerman. I am the host of Syracuse Speaks. This was my Syracuse Crunch-centric podcast. Please keep taking care of each other out there in Crunch Land. And I will talk to you all next time.